Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio program. Today is January 19, 2019. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. Last second prep time, okay? If you saw behind the microphone here, you'd be seeing we're scrambling here, getting all the notes ready and all that. We're going to have a good show today, but it's going to be an action-packed, totally unexpected show because we're throwing things in left and right. But listen, just so you know, and I think you already do, but for all the new listeners listening, I start my day with a fresh cup of Joe from CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron. There it is in the video. It tastes great every time. It's consistently good. It's not burnt or bitter. It tastes great. Also, they got a special going on here, 2 32-ounce Powerades for $3. That's a good deal. So when you're working out, because I know you're still doing your New Year's resolutions and you break that sweat, you need to do those electrolytes, get your Powerades, 2 32-ounce Powerades for $3. We're simulcasting here, right here at KMIL 105.1 FM, The Ranch out of Cameron, and also out of Rockdale at 98.5 KRXT. Check out their appropriate websites. If the station isn't coming in clear, you can live feed it there and listen to us that way. If you want to be part of the show, the phone number here in the studio is 254-697-6633, or you can give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we have here on the show lots of social media. We got YouTube. Become a subscriber to the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop. There are tons of videos, legal videos, product spotlight videos, interesting interview videos, the whole works. Become a subscriber to the Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel. Like us on Facebook. All sorts of good information on the Facebook page there. Current events coming up for the weekend, so on and so forth. Pictures, quick vids to give you an idea of what we're doing. So go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, like us there. Also go to Instagram and follow us on Instagram. A lot of good different things to check out on those social medias. Now, I want to give you a highlight of what's coming up on the show before our first quick break. We got true stories, as always, of self-defense out of the American Rifleman. I'll be reading those to see what we can learn and what to do and what not to do in situations like that. Today's License to Carry Attorney segment with Attorney Extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. Ross, we're doing trusts, PTSD, and all sorts of stupid government rules, right?
Don't be stupid.
Just don't be stupid. That's a good topic right there. Okay, after that, we're going to have the delicious Janae Goodman. And she's always got a great topic. This week's going to be fit foods. What you can eat to help lower your cholesterol, burn fat, and cut back on calories, and a whole bunch more. So we're going to check out the delicious Janae Goodman on fit foods. Now, unfortunately, the voice of law enforcement, Police Chief Randy Dixon, retired Police Chief Randy Dixon, can't be with us today. So I'm going to just fill it in with a couple training videos, basically of malfunctions and all that, or whatever else I want to fill in there. But it's going to be good information, stuff we haven't touched in a while. And it's good listening. I try to describe it as clearly as I can verbally, and then you can go review it on the video and see actually what I'm talking about. Okay, then we'll do our product spotlight with ANC Firearms. And this week is going to be, once again, the 1911 American Tactical, but this one's in .45 ACP. There's a difference. Some people like 9, some people like the .45. I like 1911. So I'll eat, sleep, and drink it no matter what the caliber. It's always good. Then at 11:30, we're going to have Bill Whitmire with us, I believe, and maybe some other guests, and we're going to be talking some more politics and a couple of articles that we've read and just see what we can come up with in the course of that hour. So we're going to take a break. Luke, let's get ready to take a break. And when we come back on the other side, we'll have true stories. And of course, as always, I will have an opinion for you. See you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin pistol bail bonds. 254-697-6035.
And if I say to you tomorrow, take my hand, child, come with me. It's to a castle I will take you. Well, what's to be, they say, will be.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cabin Mitchell Radio Program. Again, it's January 19, 2019. Having a good time. Remember, if you want to be part of the show, the number here is 254-697-6633. I know some people contacted us last week and asked us about trusts and all that. So if you're out there listening, like I know you will be, give us a call here at the studio when Attorney Ross is on and we're talking about it. And you can be part of the show. But first, let's talk about true stories of self-defense out of the American Rifleman, the Armed Citizens column. And story number one goes as follows. An apparent case of mistaken identity cost a Livermore, California man his life when he tried to break into the home of a Vietnam veteran, James Golden. Golden was roused at 3 a.m. by pounding on his front door. He grabbed a 9mm automatic and opened up as the door crashed in. Police speculated the intruder, who was hit five times, was a drug dealer who mistook Golden's house for that of a Confederate. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know what I like about this story? One, how they wrote it. He opened up as the door crashed in. So here you got a Vietnam veteran, pulls out, I'm going to bet you a 1911, he had a 9mm, okay. I bet you it was a 1911 9mm, how's that? And he opens up, tears him up, and he hits the intruder five times. You know why? You know why I think this is? Is because I'm reading out of a 1982 American Rifleman. And it just seems the stories back in the day have people with much more accuracy than days of now. Okay, just a personal opinion there. Story number two. Israel Abel was fed up with the robberies his Miami jeweler had suffered and was ready. Let me say that again. Israel Abel was fed up with the robberies his Miami jewelry had suffered and was ready for action when five armed robbers stuck up his place and tried to kidnap his sister. Oh, jeez. The sister fainted as one robber tried to take her from the store, giving Abel the chance to grab a gun from under the counter and open fire. One criminal was killed while the other four fled with their lives. Abel's sister was unharmed. You know, I don't know if she faked passing out or actually passed out, but that's a good ploy. I mean, I remember this, what movie was that? Speed. They were debating, what do you do if you got a prisoner being held by a bad guy? Shoot him in the leg, take that guy out of the equation. So maybe she did that. She took herself out of the equation to let her dad do what he had to do. Story number three. Reverend Martin Jarrell was asleep in the rector of St. Anne's Catholic Church in Miami when he heard strange noises. He grabbed a .38 caliber revolver and went to investigate. He found a would-be burglar trying to exit via a bathroom window. Father Jarrell held the man who had a long criminal record for police. So here we are. We have a reverend preaching the law and taking the law himself, right? Making sure that this guy doesn't get away. I think that's pretty cool. Now, I've always asked, I got a question for everybody. If you got three books, one's a Bible, one's a mathematics book, and the other one, let's say, is a Tom Clancy book, and you had to put your pistol down on one of the books. You couldn't put it anywhere else, but on one of those three books, which book would you pick? Ross, I'm curious. You got a handgun, and you have to put the gun down on one of the three books. One's a Bible, one's a book of mathematics, and the other one is, let's say, a Tom Clancy's thriller book. What would you do? As he's thinking, he's contemplating.
Mathematics.
Interesting. Why?
Because you got to be methodical in your approach, and it's all about trajectory.
Yeah. Or in trigonometry, right? My selection would be the Bible, because the Bible is basically the law of how we're supposed to be, and the gun is the hardware on this side of the book, and it's law on this side. It's just, it is what it is. The Bible is what it is. This handgun is what it is. So I'm just curious what a lot of people would do if they had to select a book. I ask that question a lot, and I get some interesting answers.
Well, I'm pretty bad aim, so that's why I need to focus on my mathematics.
Mathematics, okay. All right, I got one more story here. When her dog began barking, Cecilia Cates decided to retrieve her .22 caliber rifle from the bedroom of her Moon Lake, Florida trailer and investigate. Suddenly, an intruder attacked her with a razor, inflicting severe cuts on her arms. She managed to get off a single shot from the rifle and hit the man in the thigh, putting him to flight. Well, first of all, Cecilia did a great job. She heard something and got her firearm first. Okay, I'm always talking about get your firearm first. Don't go investigate. Oops, there's a problem. Then go get your weapon. You won't have time. Secondly, using a rifle, it's very cumbersome to move quickly with it, especially in close proximity of somebody trying to slice you. So her being able to shoot him in that process was pretty good. So my suggestion would be if you can be proficient with a handgun for close quarter combat, that's probably the best way to go. Anyway, those are true stories for self-defense of this week. Now, I'm not going to let you down. I'm going to read to you my opinion piece. And everybody's got an opinion, right? I do. And I'm going to give it to you right now. And it's titled, this is what I titled it this week. The way it should be is not always the way it is. And Ross, you're going to like this one. Ladies and gentlemen, I could read you penal code all day long when it pertains to license to carry and how things are supposed to happen when it comes to the law. But in reality, most of the time, the black and white, quote unquote, is altered to one's perception of how it's read and understood. Since that is the case, it would be wise to use the penal code as a guide and not a Bible of sorts. One of the most dangerous words used in the law is the word reasonable. The problem with that word is what one person may think is reasonable, another person may not think it reasonable. Let's clarify the word and understand its meaning. Reasonable, it's an adjective. First definition here, of a person having sound judgment, fair and sensible. Some synonyms for this word are sensible, rational, open to reason, logical, fair, just, equitable, decent. Second definition would be as much as is appropriate or fair, moderate. Synonyms again would be sensible, appropriate, suitable, fitting, and proper. Well, I can tell you right now that the word reasonable appears in very important penal codes when it comes to the defense of yourself, your property, your loved ones, a third person, okay? So what you may see as a life or death situation when you use deadly force, other people may not. And those people may be on the jury determining your fate. The decisions you make in seconds will be analyzed for months, be second-guessed, and may eventually be considered unreasonable. What you thought was life or death, they consider it less than that. The only way to really minimize this potential problem is to know yourself and your abilities, to know your equipment and how to use it, and to absolutely understand the penal code when it comes to self-defense. Because if you don't, the way you see things may not be the way the jury sees it. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is just the way it is. Luke, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, and we're going to be talking PTSD, trust, and stupid
stuff.
Don't be
stupid.
Don't be stupid. All right, see you on the other side.
And child, come with me. It's to a castle I will take you.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4020. Stop by 1244 U.S. 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
Hi, I'm Jason Donnelly from Ebco Development in Cameron. Okay, so one of those bargain home improvement workers hurt himself on the job. Who pays? You do. Because his low prices don't include insurance for problems like that. So you think you got a bargain? Wrong answer. So why take chances? Ebco Development has been there for you since 1984. Remodeling, new construction, roofing, and more. Call us first. We're Ebco Development. 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. Again, January 19th, 2019. And to my left sits the extraordinary attorney, Benton Ross Watson. Ross, it's always a pleasure to have you on here. How you doing today?
Just still trying to get some respect, man. It's never what it appears to be, right?
No, man, everybody respects you. All those duffel bags, the love letters and fan mail I get for you. I swear my back's killing me.
Well, don't make me read it, too, man. I can't handle that.
Ross, we had a...
Reading all this stuff for you, preparing for today, we got some good questions on the trusts, and we didn't even get to cover all of our segment last time, so we got to go over a little bit of that with the PTSD.
Well, issues. We got a nice jump on the clock, so we're going to cover it all. So for all of you who have sent in questions on the topics that we're about to touch, if you want to give us a call, 254-697-6633. Feel free to give us a shout. We'll put you on, and you can ask directly. Anyway, Ross, take it away. You know what you got. I see all these notes here.
So we talked about the insanity defense, some sort of diminished capacity rules that, you know, there's no longer that specific defense. We talked about maybe some ways that you can launch the defense based on your mental state, based on some sicknesses that you have. And then we got into PTSD type of issues, and I said that that was a big deal for me initially going to law school. Is a very motivational topic, and a lot of times we don't understand the significance of PTSD. We don't even understand what it is. I think that there's a lot of myths that is blown out of proportion sometimes, that sometimes it's not made a big enough ordeal, and a lot of times, especially when you get into the LTC context, right, when you talk about veterans too, there's a lot of stigma that goes on that only exacerbates the problem. Okay, and so I at least want to touch on those things and make everybody aware, because I think they're important for people to know. And that was the first thing. Let's just say with PTSD, there's a lot of myths. Okay, and
first of all, and maybe I should start with the stigma part, but I'm going to start with the curability aspect. PTSD is curable. Okay, and so PTSD is going to come about when you've been subject, witnessed, or you've been impacted physically, right, or emotionally by some sort of traumatic event that, and a lot of times when in the military context, we're talking about over a longer period of time, and so your body either gets conditioned or you get into sort of a state where you have adverse reactions, or you put yourself where you're trying not to have adverse reactions because certain triggers. When I say set you off, I wish I had a different phrase, because that's what I'm going to talk about.
That's accurate. People are going to understand that.
That's true, but I think when we use phraseology like that, and again, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, right? I'm not trying to give psychological advice, but I am saying that there definitely are myths, and I deal with these types of issues even in my practice, and so they're definitely curable. And a lot of people think that, you know, once you have this, you must be a crazy person. These things can be curative with simple, even with 3 to 6 months of cognitive therapy.
Is it cured or is it controlled?
They do have control. I mean, some are serious where it takes a long period of time and they're controlled, but they're absolutely curable. You can go look on the Department of Veterans Affairs website, but you can also go look on, a lot of government military websites are going to quote statistics. They're also going to have, you can go look up, the DSM, which is just the manual that you're going to give diagnosis for, you know, psychological disorders. And in the notes there, the comments, you're going to see a lot of studies that show 40%, about 40% of veterans with PTSD are cured with behavioral cognitive therapy alone. And that's pretty much the most standard form of therapy. Okay, and so you can absolutely be cured of this. It's not something that you're, just because you have it, it means you're some kind of crazy person, have a genetic disorder or something like that, that you're always going to have these problems. And that goes to LTC because, think about it, and that goes into the stigma aspect. A lot of these times, the people aren't seeking treatment because they don't want to have these secondary collateral consequences that are harsh, say, for jobs. Right, they don't want to go admit that they need a little bit of help because they don't want there to be any evidence that they've had this psychological disorder and therefore preventing them from getting certain licensing.
That's right.
Approved on certain applications. And so we should really encourage society more to allow this and not look at it so badly, because you absolutely can be cured. And the turnaround is amazing, and especially when we look at military service personnel. Yes, these people have been trained to kill, okay? That's just in a nutshell, so we don't, I mean, I could explain it a bunch of different ways, but they're trained to do this kind of thing. And so, but they're also very strong-willed people, right? And very disciplined people. Very, usually, to some degree, have some sort of self-discipline that can get them through a process. And so you see a 3 to 6 month turnaround in a lot of these military service personnel if they just do therapy. Okay, if they just do cognitive therapy, you can even do a limited time of medication. And so I think that that's important, because it's not something that, just because maybe we've seen a doctor for a couple of months, that shouldn't prevent us from getting a handgun or even certain kinds of jobs. I think once we've gone through it, we've shown that we've gone through the process, then I think that should be enough, as long as there's some kind of testing, which they do, to test you out to say you're cured.
Are you versed enough into giving an example of what they may do to help somebody who has PTSD as compared to medication? What could be something other than medication to help somebody get through that? Do you have any ideas?
Oh yeah, you can. They've got tons of treatments, and they've got stuff where, too, like they're going to do an extended period of time, they're just going to talk about all the situations, and it's going to help you when you see a trigger. It's going to help you respond to it in a better way, and eventually that can go away. Also, they've got I forget exactly what it's called, but your eyes, your vision is a lot based on the triggers, because you're always focused in the field, right? And so a lot of times what you see in your field or some kind of movement will set you off, so to speak. And so they train your eyes. You know, they teach you how to de-stress yourself. They teach you how to...
Wow, I don't know if I'd want to give that up. because I'm constantly scanning. When I do security detail or something like that, or in the military, that's the thing that keeps me protected, is seeing it before it happens. You know, that'd be difficult. Security detail or something like that, or in the military, that's the thing that keeps me protected, is seeing it before it happens. You know, that'd be difficult for me.
Yeah, and so too, with the, you know, like Vietnam, they've said is undisputed that they've had the highest amount of PTSD, and still people aren't coming forward. It's like a 30% rate of veterans that were in Vietnam, and that's simply because of the environment they were in. They were constantly, they didn't know where it was coming from. There was guerrilla warfare, so to speak, that at any time from any place that these attacks could be launched, and so it was a lot more stressors and triggers that they had to be aware of, which goes back to what you're saying, right? You don't want to lose. Those are some good things. And in fact, they said that there's a lot of studies that show once you go through this process, you're actually a much more successful, right, citizen than other people, because now you've got the tools, right? But you don't have these triggers. You can get rid of them. And so it's a big deal. But I would also say a lot of people, it was 30% from Vietnam, but normally it's 11 to 20% coming from other wars. Okay, and that just shows, just because you were in the military doesn't mean you have PTSD. And a lot of people want to jump so quick to say that somebody's got PTSD because they're in the military, and that's simply not true. Yes, there's an obvious correlation. There's some causation too that we can quantify, and we know that it's there, but it's not the cause of some kind of, it's not going to be the cause of a terrorist attack.
Can you have PTSD from a marriage, from a relationship, from whatever in that aspect? And what I'm trying to get at is this: if somebody has difficult time dealing with somebody they're trying to meet or in a relationship because of past histories of being abused or rejected and things like that, can you have PTSD in that, any type of scenario?
Well, there's obviously got to be some traumatic event, right? Either emotional, but I mean, there's obviously got to be something that was threatening to your life, or you seeing something that was threatening to other people that you cared about.
I'm thinking, what if somebody gets depressed because of the rejection?
Yes, so a lot of times too, it's not the PTSD in and of itself that leads to the problems. The PTSD will lead to the depression, will lead to the anxiety. Then that will lead to relationships going, okay, you know, sour. And then so now you don't have any friends, and now that leads to the depression state, which leads to those suicidal type of tendencies. And that's what I was going to say. There was a 2013 study that said Army suicides have more than doubled since 2001, mm-hmm, and outnumbered combat deaths. That was as of 2013. And I know that was still true in 2015. I don't have the more current statistics. But at the same time, a lot of these people aren't getting treated because of the stigma. They don't want to go. And so it leads. It's not the PTSD alone that's causing this.
That's why we're always saying, Ross, that's why we're always saying it's not the gun problem. It's not a gun problem. It's a mental problem.
I think to some degree it's a society problem. I think that there's a lot of judgment there that shouldn't be there, that if we would just go ahead and get the treatment and get it over with, we could get these people in and out and they would be fine again. We wouldn't have these exacerbated problems like we have. And I think, too, there's a I did want to say there's a – so – and we talked about, I gave a brief example before we left the show last time, and I was talking about the flashbacks. And a lot of people think, oh, well, when you have PTSD, you get these flashbacks. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's one of them, but there's so many types of symptoms and so many what we call typologies. And the one that gives the flashbacks, where you're almost hallucinating, it's almost like you're right back right back into the heat of the battle, is the dissociative reactions. Okay, those are extremely rare.
English, please. 50-cent words.
Those are rare when you have a flashback, so to speak, when you go back to where you are. And so a lot of people think, well, if you got PTSD, you're crazy, you're going to start hallucinating and just start firing everywhere. And that's not true either. And when you look at the correlation to the so-called mass shootings, which we've talked about, it's crazy how they classify mass shooting, but there's no indication that it's PTSD people from the military. They're doing this. Yes, there's a couple involved in the military, but it's not...
basically people got a problem.
Okay, and so there's no difference even in that for the military versus what we call the CTE, which would, what I would get probably is my problem from playing college football, which is the chronic traumatic cephalopathy. Did I get that right, Rick Dodd? He's going to tell me, but which is the constant, you know, impacts to the head over and over and over over a long period of time. And so these can lead to problems too, which brings me to the TBI. That's when we get problems when we have a TBI, which is called a traumatic brain injury. And you guys can get this from anything, a car wreck, falling on your head as a youngster. Rick Dodd can talk to you for hours about the long-term repercussions that you might get from what you think might have been a small concussion, and really you have a traumatic brain injury. And so there's a lot that goes in there, and that's how those plaintiff lawyers get those big jury verdicts with the TBIs, is because it's not just a concussion that you felt at that time. Yeah, there was that effect at that moment, but that effect, those damages could stem the rest of your life, and it could lead to Alzheimer's. There's correlations and causations that lead to things like that, to strokes later, to memory loss, to cognitive failure in the long run. So if you think that you hit your head pretty hard, and there's, or your son, especially, let's say you have a car wreck and your kid's in the car, get them checked for a TBI.
You know, I'll never forget this. When I was going through airborne school, they go through, you're jumping off of like a 4 foot bench, and then you go to a 32 foot tower, 250 foot tower. But before you even get up there, you're practicing how to fall. Okay. And you're supposed to tuck your head. But man, before you learn to tuck your head, the back of your skull is slamming. It's hitting that ground every time, like, oh, that you're going to learn sooner or later. But by the time you do that, you got Dane damage. You know?
Absolutely. There's some evidence that there's more TBIs and PTSD type of stuff caused in the training aspect more than it is actually if there's a conflict. So you're absolutely right. I mean, but that's just the nature of the beast. There's no way that we're going to send our guys out there if they're not used to some sort of impact.
No, of course not. I'm just saying, my gosh, it's probably part of my problems now is why.
And so
I am the way I am from knocking my head so many times.
And so the last thing I wanted to say is there's not a lot of cases either that give somebody that's in these situations a defense. And a lot of times these types of people that do have the serious stuff should be entitled to like an insanity defense. But the insanity rules for the dissociative states, the rare ones that we talked about, where you do have the hallucinations and the flashbacks. And so they don't get this defense, and maybe we can present it in mitigation of punishment, but I think that, especially when you're talking about in the course of military service, these guys should be given some sort of, at least, I think that they would be entitled to some sort of defense more than somebody else, right, that would have this condition. And because they're putting themselves out there, they're doing it for everybody, they're sacrificing their bodies and their long-term health. And sometimes this happens, and we as a society have made it where it's very difficult for them to get treatment because of collateral consequences, secondary effects,
right.
And to their livelihood. And so that's another reason why there was a big push for veterans courts, that when a veteran gets in trouble and it has something to do with drugs or some sort of, maybe it could be a little bit violent, but not like murder or anything, but certain offenses like that, especially in Bell County, is real good about a veterans court program. And I wish that smaller counties like Milam County, Falls County, right, Grimes County, Limestone, all these were more equipped to help their veterans out in situations. I think because if they could get that help from the veterans court, their case would be dismissed and it wouldn't go on their record, and they would get the help they would need, and then they would be able to get out and be a productive individual and, right, pay taxes and do all
that
stuff.
Since you and Rick are of this mindset, can veterans like this come to you and you can direct them, guide them, counsel them, work with them and for them to help them in their cases?
Yes. I mean, I have veterans before, and to you know, to the DA's office here in Milam County's credit, I mean, they have tried to work with me once or twice in a good veterans case to try to get this guy into a veterans court program, but it's not here. We don't know anything about it. We don't have the administrators here. Like, it's just very difficult to work that situation. It's very frustrating for the DA's office here. And so I wish there was more collaboration between the district attorney's office on this subject. I wish when they go to the legislature this year, Bill Torrey, if you're listening, maybe press the legislature for more of a collaborative effort between the the prosecutors, especially from the big counties versus the little counties.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you just heard it. If it's not mentioned, maybe we can put a little pressure and say, hey, respectfully, can we bring this up?
Yeah, exactly. It needs to be something that needs to be brought up. It's a big topic. I mean, and there's good guys out there that are trying to do drugs because of the pain that they're feeling, back pain, head pain, right? They're just trying to ignore reality, and really they could go and do 6 months of treatment and it could be done. They don't ever face this again. And so we were asked, so I'll move on to trust. I know we're getting behind here, but I think that's an important topic. And so for trust, remember we have the NFA firearms, and that would be short barrel firearms, short barrel the shotguns and the rifles, and then we've got the machine guns, and we've got silencers, right? All of those you're not allowed to possess without, you know, authorization from the ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms and explosives now. And so you've got to get permission from them and apply for an application. And it's probably just a money grab. It's a $200 tax on every firearm that you purchase. And so then they passed, we talked about last year, they passed, you know, at the very beginning, because it was 2016 legislation, the 41F. The 41F pretty much even the scales as far as the actual requirements that you have to go through for the application process, and it removed the CLIO, the local law enforcement officer's approval, right? You no longer have to get that even if you're not in a trust. Okay, and that was
LLC, corporate.
That was a big deal because people wanted trust, right? So they didn't have to go through the law enforcement officer. They could just notify them, and that would be it. They also wanted it because there were some administrative things that were cheaper and a lot faster to do. That's no longer the case. Everybody's on an even scale. But that doesn't mean that you don't need to do a firearms trust, okay? The firearms trust, if just real quick, there's three reasons to do a firearms trust versus doing it by yourself. One is you get multiple people that are able to use that individual arm, okay, that individual silencer, machine gun, or long barrel firearm, okay? And that would be all the more reason to do it instead of if it was just you as an individual buying that firearm, only you could have it. And I took a great example, and I didn't mean to plagiarize. I thought I was going to get the website, but there's absolutely a good website out there, and I am taking off there because it's a great example. It would be like if you bought a silencer for yourself, and you had it on your rifle to go hunt hogs, and you were gone one night and somebody broke in and your wife happened to grab that rifle to defend herself. Okay, she's now effectively using, okay, that silencer in violation of the National Firearms Act and in violation of the regs for ATF, and now you're also in violation because you allowed that to be used by somebody who wasn't authorized as an applicant, and
that's when people are just being stupid in the court of law. Somebody would actually do that. They go, this woman just defended herself. The guy has it legal, and yet, because I can see it happening. I can see where they would want to bust this woman and rack up a whole bunch of charges against her because of what you just said, but in reality, she just saved her neck. Thank goodness.
Right, and defense wise, I think she would have a defense. She would probably, what we talked about before, necessity. In a case like that, you would have a necessity defense. But that doesn't mean she it's going to be cheap,
right?
To assert
that
offense. There's still going to be penalties. She's still going to have to.
You'll get off, but you're going for the ride.
Right. She's still going to have to pay for the ride, possibly. Okay?
Yeah, but the prosecuting attorney should go, oh, come on, this is a good person here. I'm just not even going to look at it.
I got you, but what I'm going to end on is going to show you that, hey, you better be careful, okay? And so you just got to be careful about these things. And then there's another issue. What happens when you die?
Yeah.
What happens? Yeah, they can file what's called a Form 5. They have to go through all this stuff, and most people aren't going to know that. Your wife, and I say wife, I don't mean to seem sexist. Your other spouse, a lot of times one spouse doesn't know as much about guns as the other one. That spouse may have no idea that they got to do this, and now they're, you know, you die and they're cleaning out your closet. They're in possession of this thing, and they're going to go travel to their new house. Like, my mom moved to College Station. She's taking it in her car up there with the rest of the guns. She's going to be in trouble. Okay, she gets stopped with that thing. She's not gonna have a clue. Okay, and so I mean, that's another reason to have the trust. You can designate beneficiaries and you can designate co-trustees. That would be the co-trustees of the people that we call.
Let me get this right. Technically, the trust is the owner of the firearm.
The trust is absolutely the owner of the firearm.
And we are managers of the products.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And your trust, it's smart to just have your one owner, right? Unless you guys are going in on a group deal. But the whole point of the trust thing is so you do have, right, this sustained legacy for these items that you have. And so you can be passed down and you can designate these beneficiaries. And just make sure you go to the right lawyer, because the right lawyer will actually set it up to where you can have long and short term co-trustees, okay, without amending your trust. And so it could be like we're going on a hunting trip. You could designate, right, a short term co-trustee that could then be in possession of the whatever the firearm is in that specific thing, but they're not otherwise going to be stay on your trust document, so that when you die, right, you can have your wife, even if she's not approved by the ATF, she can still be an owner. She can still be an owner, okay? And she'll just have to have somebody else to use it and take it around and manipulate it, but she can still own it, whereas if you didn't have the trust, she couldn't own the thing.
Okay, let me ask something as a guy on the street, okay? This service that you provide, is it one of these things that's ongoing and the customer has no idea of how much it's going to finally cost? Or is this like, look, this is what it is and this is what it takes and it's a set fee, and if somebody was to call you and say,
don't come to me, I'm going to charge you way too much money to do a gun trust. Okay, go. There's tons of companies online. If it were me, I would go to one of the silencer companies and get a list.
See, but I wouldn't do
of
that.
The lawyers. But if you want names of lawyers, I got lawyers that do gun trusts, right? And that's all they do.
But don't you do it?
I do it, but I'm just telling you that I'm more expensive than you can get it done.
I know. There's two ways to look at this. You can have somebody, yes, definitely is counting their pennies, okay? But for me, I want to look you in the eyes, say, I want to make sure I'm reading this right. Explain it to me. And don't just explain it to me. Explain it to me two different ways, because this simple mind that's talking to you right now needs a couple different ways to hear it.
Right. And if you're doing your whole estate plan through me, you're not going to have to worry about paying me for a gun trust. I'll just do that for you. Right, but don't come to me just for a gun trust, because you can go get that done literally for $25. That's probably not the best gun trust, but
that's what I'm getting at. I want to be sure.
It'll probably be one that you can go in and literally the cost involved, yes, that's a con. You're going to pay a little bit more probably, because you're going to have to pay for the trust. But if you think about it, if you get two or three guys, right, together, and you pay can split the $200 fee, because it's $200 tax per firearm. So that one firearm is going to be a $200 tax for that one firearm. You guys can split that cost. You guys could also split the cost of a trust, so that you guys could all use that specific silencer. And a trust is a whole lot better than doing a corporation, because you're going to have to pay, right, the comptroller every single year. You're going to have to pay the comptroller, and you're going to have to pay about a $300 fee just to set up your corporation, and you're probably going to have a lawyer set up that corporation for you.
I can confirm that.
Okay,
sure.
And so if it were me, the trust is the easiest way to go. The specific question last week was, should you go ahead and purchase the firearm and then set up the trust, right? Then do it. No, you need to have the trust done first. You're going to incur more cost, because think about it. If you do an individual transfer to yourself, you're going to pay the $200 transfer tax, okay? And you're still going to have to go through the process for yourself. And then if you want to transfer it to a trust, that transfer is going to be another $200 tax, okay? And you're going to have to then pay to set it up. You're going to have to make sure that it's all done right, okay? And so the three things are, right, multiple owners. And think about it, too. What if you have a guy that's your buddy, and he's in a state that doesn't allow, right, NFA firearms in their state, right? He can be a co-trustee of the trust, right? He can't use it in that state, but he can use it whenever he goes somewhere else. But he can still be a party to this document. He can still be a part owner of the weapon, right? Even though, because the trust is not in that state, the trust is going to be established here in Texas.
If you want to simplify and just keep it to a personal, one person or their family, one person can set it up and the whole family can benefit from it as compared to...
Absolutely.
Because there's going to be a lot of people out there who are family-oriented on this concept idea as compared to people wanting to get in together. I'm going to guess.
I know, but even if your family doesn't want anything to do with this, it's better to do the trust because they're not going to be in hot water, and it's going to be a whole lot easier administratively-wise, right, once you pass away.
But this is technically, at the moment, for anything that needs... of special form from ATF. We're not talking basic 4473 guns that are transferred over, that rifles of 16-inch barrels, shotguns, you know, anything that's legal at this moment that you can get with a basic form 4473. We're talking about the oddball stuff that you got to go through ATF with special forms, right?
Correct. Okay. Correct. And so,
short barrel rifles, silencers, 203 grenade launchers, that kind of stuff.
Right. And so, multiple owners, organization, and remember we talked about ID cards last year. You can have an ID card so that you know everybody, and you, if you make those trust ID cards, you can, if you're ever questioned by somebody, let's say at a shooting range, you can just show them, here's my trust, everybody's on here, these are all our IDs, mm-hmm. Here's my number, here's my application deal, I can go get it in the car. But
That would be just as good as carrying a tax-stamped form.
Maybe not, but, I mean, it's better than walking around with the form. You can leave it in your car while you have the...
See, that's what I always did. I made a color copy of my forms, and I, on the short-barreled ones that I had, I would stick it in the stock of the rifle, so it's always there, saying, hey, I've got it. If you're going to hassle me, I can produce it, but the last thing I want to do is lose the original, you know?
Right, so multiple owners, estate planning purposes, transfer on death, that kind of thing, organization and documentation. Don't forget about the importance of documenting your separate property. What happens when you die? You got no record of how you got this firearm, and you don't know when you got it, and you want to give it to somebody, but your wife's saying it's community property. If you got it in the trust, it's going to specify that it's your separate property. Okay, that may be important to some people. Okay, and so those are the reasons to do it. It's still something that should be done, even though 41F essentially leveled the playing field for everybody as far as the application process is concerned. Trusts still have a purpose, and they still have a benefit. And I would say if I were going to get one of these types of weapons, the machine guns, the silencers, or the long barrel firearms, I would do a trust before I would do it myself, for sure. I would certainly do it before I would do any kind of business entity, just because it's cheaper. It's cost savings wise.
Okay. Since we're running short on time, you want to talk about stupid stuff, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, don't be stupid. We always talk about why the legislature does things. Right now, there's a bill up for being passed that's going to not regulate lemonade stands. So in order to sell lemonade in the state of Texas, you got to have a permit and you got to be licensed and inspection. So if you remember in 2000,
yeah, I remember that story. Go ahead.
In 2015, the two girls, a 7 and 8-year-old, were trying to earn some money to go on a little family vacation, and they're out there on their own private property in their yard. They have a lemonade stand. They're selling it, you know, for $2 a cup. Right, and they just got started. They're up to like $27, and the police come by and literally shut them down.
They should be. Never mind. I won't say it. Read my mind.
Don't be stupid. Okay,
exactly.
So the reason we have stupid laws on the books is because we have stupid government officials that try to overreact to certain situations and take their job way too seriously. Okay, I mean, that's just the honest to goodness truth. Okay, and it was crazy because they were gonna have to pay $150 right application fee. They're gonna have to go out of town like an hour just to make the application. They're gonna have to. I think there was gonna be some other costs, and they were gonna have to open their kitchen for inspection by government officials. Ridiculous. just to have a lemonade stand out there in their yard. Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Okay, and so just. I thank you, police. We love you, first responders, things like that. But sometimes they're just be stupid, okay? And so then I want to warn everybody. I had a buddy of mine. I won't say your name, man. But he knew better, and he calls me, and he says, man, they told me that they had my records, that the FBI did a raid on the border, at all my information was there. They're calling from the Social Security Administration, you know, the IRS office, and they're telling me they're going to initiate legal proceedings against me, and all this stuff. They had very specific information. Like they know where my apartment is. I'm staying right now, and he travels around the country. Okay, and so it was kind of crazy that they did know exactly where he was staying at this point in time.
They know everything.
Well, hold on a second. So and they're going to issue legal proceedings against him unless, right, he comes forward and tells them all his personal information and gives them his Social Security number. I got more than one call, by the way, on this scam. That's why I'm going to tell you guys.
Now,
and
here,
I told him.
Here they know everything except that, right?
And that's what I was going to say. So I said, man, they work for the IRS and they work for the Social Security Administration.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you think they wouldn't have your Social Security number?
Oh, man. Oh, man.
And then I said, you know, you've been in my office several times. You come in all the time and you know what I do. And we talk about all these different cases. And you already know when have you ever heard of a situation where legal proceedings will be initiated against you over the phone?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, golly. I get calls sometimes, okay, and people say they want to ask information from me. I go, who the heck are you? Do you think, honestly, me, not knowing who you are, am going to give that type of information to you? Sorry, click. I'm not going to do it. That's why people think I'm such a capital D.
So be smart, don't be stupid, okay? But be wary. I want to tell you about these scams. And there was another one in Cameron talking about using very specific police officers' names. You can go look up on Facebook. There was a scam going around. It was put on notice by the city that the scam artists are saying they're specific police officers and they're wanting information from you, and they're using actual police officers that are working here. And so, do not fall for that. You're not going to have legal proceedings initiated against you over the phone. And if they want you to come in, they'll ask you to come in. And if you are really that worried about it and you're fretting over it, you can tell them to call my office.
Isn't a raid on your house a legal proceeding?
Well, I guess it kind of depends on how it's done, but I would say they're going to initiate legal proceedings. I would think that would be a court case.
And they'd be like, okay.
And so don't fall for that. Be smart about it. Don't be stupid.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Ross, as always, incredible information. Why don't you tell everybody how they can get a hold of you?
And so, we still got questions. I told you I'm still working on two of those questions that I still haven't got an answer to. But if you got them, email me at benton@watson.legal, at benton@watson.legal. Make sure you leave your phone number so I can give you a call back. Also, if you want to schedule an appointment, you can give us a call at 254-605-4140 or come see me at 105 East Main Street here in Cameron. That's primary office location. Got a big milk cow on the side. You can't miss it.
Now, explain the difference between you and Rick. Rick's office, because Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm sponsors this large segment here, and we can't thank him enough for that. But tell him the separation between primarily, I mean, you can do pretty much anything, but he specializes, you specialize. Explain to everybody what they do again.
They do personal injury work, and they do medical malpractice cases, and they do, personal, very personal rights to your body. Maybe we've talked about traumatic brain injury types of injuries. And so if you do have a situation where you got, you think you've been abused or misused by the medical industry, or you've been in a car wreck and it's not your fault, some guy broke the law and hurt you, or some other kind of case where they invaded your physical space and it ended up causing you an injury, Rick is definitely the one to talk to.
RespectForYou.com is a place to go. Now, Ross, we got somebody on the line. Let's see if it has anything to pertain to what you were talking about. Go ahead, Luke. Put him on. All right. He's pushing a whole bunch of buttons. Are we good? Welcome to the show. Who's on the line and what can I do for you? Hello. Well, anyway, let's... Okay, you on the air?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? Who's this and what are you calling for, sir?
My name's Eric.
How you doing, buddy?
I get all them scams all the time. People calling saying you got credit cards, wanting to lower your credit card rate and stuff. And if you question them about it and tell them, hey, give me a credit card and I'll have a credit card, and then they hang up on you. But they're hacking into everybody else's phone numbers and calling people.
Very possible. And so a lot of times you can go on the FTC website and actually make a complaint, and this actually, a lot of people think this doesn't do anything, but the FTC is very active on callers like that, and especially when on cyber security type of issues, and that's a really good point. I've had people come in my office for this, and I'll make a complaint for them online at the FTC, and you'll see after enough complaints, the FTC will go after these people. They will try to track them down, even if they're overseas.
FTC, explain it.
Federal Trade Commission.
Well, I talked to one guy. He said he was in Pakistan.
He told you that?
Yeah, he told me he was in Pakistan.
Well, I like messing with him, but you're right. The longer you stay on the phone, the more information digitally, right behind the scenes, they may be getting on you. So
I didn't say nothing to him. I just told him I didn't have a dang credit card and take me off their calling list, and then they hang up on you.
Well, it's like the warranty. The people that called me, they called me and say, "Oh, I think I got a call yesterday. You got a Ford Taurus. Oh, we got a warranty for your Ford Taurus." I don't have a Ford Taurus.
I get them phone calls all the time about my truck warranties fixing to run out, and it's a 2001 GMC pickup with probably 400,000 miles on it.
They basically sold your name to another company, and the company wants to try and sell you their aftermarket extended warranty, and that's how it works.
And this goes into the Alzheimer's and stuff we're talking about, too. Sometimes they're not after digital information from your phone and phone numbers. They're actually going to get people that are going to send them money.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. For something they don't own, just because they're not mentally right able to comprehend what's being said over the phone. And they're very trustful.
Yeah, then I get this phone call about, well, you get these free back braces and knee braces and everything. And yeah, I had a bad car wreck in 2012, died six times, shattered my right femur, and I have pain when the weather changes, but when the weather's warm outside, I don't have pain.
Well, you're a good barometer for bad weather coming in, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Because I got the same challenge. When the weather starts changing, I'm like, oh, man, there the aches and the pains start acting up on me. All right, Eric, I can't thank you enough for listening
I'm going to have to come down there and see you and get you to do that complaint for me.
Yeah, come on, man. I love all doing right. those. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Where's your address at?
105 East Main Street here in Cameron. 105 okay. East Main Street.
Big cow.
If I come
Yeah, right across
if
from the courthouse.
If I come to Cameron.
Yes, sir.
If I come to Cameron to the cow sale, I'll stop by and visit with you.
All right. I'd love to hear from you.
Great. All thanks right. for the Thank call, you, man. Eric. Appreciate it. All right, Ross, we're going to top of the hour here. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have the delicious Janae Goodman. We're running a few minutes late, but it's great, great information going out there. And then, like I said, Chief Dixon is not here today, so we'll be playing a repeat on gun stoppages and how to clear it. So, Luke, take it away. Take a break. When we come back, we'll have the delicious Janae Goodman.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs. If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
And that's powerful stuff.
Hi, I'm Jason Donalek from EBCO Development. For more than 25 years, you've been able to find EBCO Development in the phone book. How many other companies are still listed along with us? It's a good question. Check it out and see for yourself. So why take chances? EBCO Development has been there for you since 1984. Quality remodeling, new construction, roofing, and more. That's EBCO Development. Call us first at 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
Good day, my lovelies. Hopefully, you're still on the New Year, New You track. Some of the top resolutions for this year include getting in shape, losing weight, and living a healthier lifestyle. I'd like to help you turn your three-week resolutions into a lifelong commitment. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. I read an article the other day that really spoke to me, and I think you all will agree with me with the idea behind this approach. Keely Dellett shares about her weight loss struggles. Like many of us, she lost hope on many occasions, but owes her success to a successful practice, changing one tiny thing a week. She began her journey with 1 week, where she opted for smaller portions at her favorite fast food restaurants. Instead of ordering medium fries, she'd go for a small. Week two, she challenged herself to eat grilled items instead of crispy ones. That later led to switching soda for juice, then juice for sparkling water, and encouraged healthier options overall, making sure that it was only tiny changes that were implemented each week. Keely lost a total of 125 pounds using this method, and I think we can all learn something from her. We tend to make the mistake of cutting out certain foods altogether or going on extreme diets to get quick results. Not only is this an unhealthy approach, it's not a very practical one. We have to keep in mind it's a marathon, not a sprint. I can't say it enough. If you're not comfortable with it, don't follow it. Don't be a fool for fad diets. The best advice I've ever gotten is that a healthy diet doesn't cut out certain foods. It should be wholesome and focuses on eating more of the right foods and limiting empty calories and processed junk. So what are the right foods, Janae? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's start with the obvious ones. Lean meat and vegetables. Those should be the main portions of your diet. Lean meats should be sought out when available. Proteins such as grilled, baked, or steamed chicken, turkey, and fish are typically the easiest ones to source. You'll want to source fish such as albacore tuna, halibut, salmon, or mackerel, all of which have omega-3s. You may also opt for extra lean ground beef, as well as lamb, veal, and venison. Venison actually being a low-fat option on its own. Less fat content in these meats just means less cook time to ensure your protein isn't dry and rubbery. Otherwise, you can hardly tell the difference. When choosing vegetables, be mindful of natural carbs. Vegetables such as corn, peas, and potatoes contain starch, which isn't bad, but they should be eaten sparingly. Starches turn into sugars, and those can add up rather quickly if you're not paying any attention. Opt for leafy greens, broccoli, asparagus, beets, carrots, celery, cucumbers, peppers, tomatoes, onions, and sprouts instead. Fruit is healthy, right? Well, you wouldn't be wrong. I mean, it's definitely part of a healthy, balanced diet. However, fruit can be dangerous when you consider the natural sugar content. Granted, it's better than a second serving of pie a la mode, but don't go overboard. Those sugars turn into, that's right, you guessed it, carbs. Check the serving size of your favorite fruits to make sure that you're not overindulging. If you're looking for options that won't break your sweet tooth, you can choose berries, oranges, grapefruit, avocado, watermelon, kiwi, and cantaloupe. Now understand that not all carbs are created equally. Recent studies have shown that eating carbohydrates that are also high in fiber can also be quite beneficial. Research shows that eating at least 30 grams of fiber a day can help you feel fuller longer and helps provide the energy that you need to burn calories. These are also known as complex carbs. High fiber carbs include options such as whole grain breads and pastas, oatmeal, and brown rice. If you're into sweet potatoes, they make for a healthy choice as well. Chia seeds are also a great fiber source, and they can easily be incorporated into meals and smoothies. Keep in mind that every single one of you is going to have a different approach to this. But no matter what your goals are, I know you can do it. Stay strong. You've got this. As always, feel free to email me at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com if you need details on this or any other segments. And until next week, stay hungry, my friends.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Vitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. So what I wanted to do is, in my class, I go over a few things. And I've done these videos before, ladies and gentlemen. Separate videos on each particular one. But I'm going to kind of put it as a hodgepodge all together on this particular day in this particular video. And first thing I know, I've got my 1911 9mm, and I've got it loaded with dummy rounds, but I took the mag out, but I'm going to check the chamber anyway just to make sure the weapon's clear. The weapon is clear, okay? And the first thing we're going to do is understand cartridges. And we were talking about this before, verbiage, how it's very important, Trey. There's a lot of times people can say things, and in general, we get the general idea, but if I'm on radio just trying to describe things, and I say one thing, but in reality, I mean another, people may get confused. So let's talk about cartridges. Cartridges, some people call them bullets, right? Well, in reality, the bullet is the projectile. A cartridge or a round contains components, and those components are the bullet, the projectile, the shell casing made out of brass, aluminum, steel, whatever, a primer, and gunpowder. So when the cartridge goes into the chamber of the gun and you pull the trigger and the hammer falls, the hammer hits the firing pin, or if it's a striker fire, the pin is released. It hits the primer. The primer is then caused a spark. The spark ignites the gunpowder. The powder burns, builds up pressure, and then it pushes the projectile out of the weakest part of the gun, which is the muzzle of the barrel. Okay? So there you have the components of a cartridge. Sometimes, though, cartridges can cause problems as well as other things. So the first thing we're going to talk about, the first type of malfunction is going to be a stovepipe. Some people may not know what a stovepipe is. If you look at a wood-burning stove and you look at the pipe that goes up to the ceiling, you'll notice it is in sections. Well, consider each one of those sections a shell casing. Like you shot a cartridge and the bullet's gone now and you just got the empty shell casing. Just picture those stacked one on top of the other. Well, in the video here, I'm showing, I don't have an empty one, so I'm going to use a dummy round with the head on it. But it sticks up like this, where it's sticking up vertical from the gun. What causes a stovepipe? If we can understand the mechanics of a firearm, we can get it back in action a lot quicker. Now, I have a formula here. I'm going to show it on the screen. It's Aaron's formula for success. M plus M equals RT. Mindset, if you're into what you're doing, plus the mechanics. If you understand the mechanics of how things work, it's going to give you a better response time. M plus M equals RT. Mindset plus mechanics equals response time. So let's learn mechanics. Here we've got a 1911, and we've got a stovepipe malfunction. What are some of the things that can cause a stovepipe? Well, first of all, probably the top thing is the gun is dirty. If the gun is not sliding smoothly, if there's a lot of grit, gum, grime, it can slow the slide down to the point where it doesn't have enough energy to kick the cartridge out of the chamber and the ejection port. Okay? Or let's say you're limp wristing. Limp wristing is where my hand is down here, and the gun's flipping in my hand as compared to holding it nice and firm. Another thing could be the cartridge itself did not have a good powder charge. Instead of it going bam, 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 it just went bing, bing, bing. Just didn't have enough energy to push the slide to the rear, and it causes this malfunction. Now, what's the trick? How do we clear the malfunction? Well, if we're in a firefight, we'll say, and the first shot goes off, but then we try to pull the trigger again and it doesn't work, the first thing I'm going to say is probably a curse word. And then the second thing I'm going to say is the acronym SPORTS. I took SPORTS from the military because they use it for an M16 rifle, and I've applied it to a pistol. SPORTS. Slap. I'm going to slap up on the magazine. I could have accidentally pushed the magazine release button and it pops out, so I'm going to slap up on the mag. P is for pull. I'm going to pull the slide to the rear, and hopefully the trash will come out, the empty shell casing. O, observe. Is it clear? The chamber's clear. Everything looks good. R is release. T is take aim. S is squeeze the trigger. You're back in the game. Sports. We're going to use the word sports for all of our malfunctions, okay? So you've got a basic stovepipe malfunction, and that's how you clear it. On Tuesday, you can check out the video to see how it works. The next malfunction is one of the worst, and that's called a double feed. In the video, I want to show you that this generally happens when you release the magazine. Most guns will do this. I'm pushing the mag release button, and the magazine is going to drop right out, okay? Most cases, unless they're designed not to do that. Now, I'm going to put a round in the chamber, dummy round in the chamber, pretend that it's empty. I'm putting the magazine into the gun, and I'm dropping the slide forward. On the video, you'll see I've got the shell casing in the chamber, and I've got another round trying to go in. That's a double feed. A double feed is when you shoot the gun one time, it fires, the slide comes to the rear, but the extractor slipped off the shell casing and did not pull it out. The slide comes all the way to the rear and then comes back and strips off a brand new round, but it can't go into the chamber because that empty one's still in there. That's a double feed, and that's a mess. What we've got is we've got a few points of stress on this gun that we have to release. I've got my guide rod spring that's compressed now because the slide is not in full battery, so it's compressed. I've got the magazine spring pushing up another round, and I've also got the round that's on top trying to go in the chamber halfway off the magazine, catching on the lip. I have to relieve the stress. First thing I'm going to do, lock the slide to the rear. Manipulating my slide stop, locking the slide to the rear. I just took off the stress from the guide rod spring, which is going to allow the mag to most likely drop easier. As I do that, the cartridge or the empty shell casing that was in the chamber on this particular moment fell out of the chamber, but I'm going to check it again. It is clear. If you'll notice, that round on the top here is partially sticking off the magazine. I have to, what they call, reset it, put it back in. All the while, I'm indexing the weapon. I'm keeping it to the side now. It's in line with my line of sight. So now that it's clear, I insert the mag back into the weapon. Gun's still in my line of sight. I straddle the slide, and now I'm back in the game. That's called a double feed. Double feeds are one of the worst because it takes a lot of time. However, you should be able to do this with your weapon without looking at it. And the reason being is if you're looking at your weapon and not the threat, the threat's going to do something you don't know. He may come behind you and then you're kind of screwed, right? I'm going to try and show this on video here and describe it. I'm looking at the threat. I have a double feed. Sports. I slap up on the magazine, pull the slide to the rear and observe that I've got a double feed. Instead of me taking my eyes off the threat, I know my weapon. I know how it works. I'm going to maintain the focus on the threat. Lock the slide to the rear, drop the mag, I hear the trash come out, a real quick check to the chamber, it's clear, reset, indexing the weapon, gun's in, I'm back in the game. I'm not looking at the gun trying to figure it out. Very important that we learn how to do that. Now the last one is this. This happens sometimes, I don't know why it happens, I think it's because people ride the slide. And what I mean by riding the slide is, when the slide is locked to the rear, instead of grabbing the slide, pulling it to the rear, and letting it go, they grab the back of the slide and ride it forward slowly. And when they do that, the cartridge kind of jiggles and bounces out of where it's supposed to be. And when that happens, you have this problem. Now, if you'll notice in the video, I got a muzzle brake on it, but if you'll notice right here how the slide, it's all together, right? No, actually, look at the backside. The slide is in line with the frame of the gun, okay? That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, when I put a cartridge in it and we have a reverse extractor malfunction, the extractor got behind the cartridge. Every cartridge has got that rim around it. The extractor goes in the rim, and that's what carries it in and pulls it out. But if for some reason it slips and gets behind it, this is what's going to happen. You'll notice that the gun is not in line with the frame anymore. It sticks out about an eighth of an inch, and that's about the distance that that rim is on the shell casing. Okay, so how does that happen? It's probably because you're riding the slide forward. There's two ways to fix it. You can either pull back a little bit on the slide, let it go, or you can bang it in like that. Banging it in on the back side of the slide doesn't always work. So what I like to do is pull it back the slide and let it go. And it still didn't work. Actually, it did. Okay, that's the best way to do it. If not, you just got to do a full rack of the slide and get your gun back in working order. But those are three different types of malfunctions, and I've got those videos on each malfunction all by themselves. But in this video, I showed it real quick to explain to the gentleman and the people that were listening the few different basic types of malfunctions that happen with the firearm. So you got the stovepipe, double feed, reverse extractor malfunction. Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to play a replay of Master Cindy Key doing something physically abusive to me to help you protect yourselves on the street.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
And that's powerful stuff.
These days you can't afford to take care of contracting issues alone. You need someone who will be there to do what is best for you and your project. I'm Jason Donat, and that's what we do at EBCO Development. Take care of you and your construction project from start to finish. For quality new construction, remodel, and roofing services, call EBCO Development at 254-697-2186. And know that we will be there for you. EBCO Development. Let's see what we can build together.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs. Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-1417.
Welcome back, everybody, to Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's January 19th, 2019. I'm live here. We played a recorded session from a while ago, so I'm back here live, but I'm fixing to play another one. I'll tell you why. This segment's sponsored by ANC Firearms out of Heidenhammer, and I've known Arch Kuntz, the owner of ANC Firearms, for a long time. He's a great guy. They got a great shop there. Lots of pistols, revolvers, rifles, shotgun, ammo, knives, accessories, black powder, reloading, the whole works. Okay, it's a great place there in Heidenhammer. And I had done a product spotlight on an American Tactical 1911 in 9mm. So it's going to be basically the same thing. However, this particular one they got in the shop now is the 45. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. For the price of this gun, I think it's, I can't remember, I think it's in the very high threes, maybe, extremely low fours. But for a 1911 Commander size of this quality and accuracy, I'm showing in this video, it's not going to play, but you'll see it in the other video. If you go to the YouTube channel, aaronsgunshop.com, it's a handsome-looking gun, and you can modify it quite nicely to your personal preference. But it shoots great, shoots straight, it eats up just about any type of ammo. So what we're going to do is we're going to replay the video that discusses the 9mm. However, this one that they have on the shelf now is the 45, and you can get either one. And they've got full-size, officer size, commander size. I personally think the commander size is the best because you get the full size grip and you get a little bit shorter barrel for better concealment. But that's your preference. You pick what you want. So, Luke, let's go ahead and play that recording of the American Tactical 1911. It's going to say, you'll hear a couple times I'll say 9mm, but we're talking about the 45 ACP, but in reality it doesn't matter, either or. Fantastic gun. Go ahead, take it away. Okay, now I'm going to go right into our next spotlight, and that's ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. We've got the 1911, American Tactical 1911. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you were to go look at my YouTube channel and my Facebook page, you would get to see the video I have of the 1911 9mm American Tactical pistol. I'm shooting it. You can just see how lovely it looks when it fires, okay? And I'm going to be talking about that. It's the American Tactical 1911 and 9mm at ANC Firearms. Arch Kuntz is the owner. Check him out. Great guy. Great staff. Clint, Mike, and Dennis. They got pistol, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, accessories, the works. But in particular, they can get you this 1911 right here. However, I have modified it a little bit, of course. It's not the way you would get it out of the box. But first thing we're going to do, a collective shout out there as to what do we do when we get a firearm. We're going to check it to make sure it's not loaded, right? We're going to drop the magazine. Magazine is clear. Slide to the rear. Chamber is clear. And magazine well is clear. This weapon is clear. Now, we're looking at it right here. It's a beautiful gun. I added on the muzzle brake, which generally reduces muzzle flip by about 30%. I put my Pierce grip finger grooves in there for better grip on the weapon. And if you can see those grips, I happened to see those at a gun show one day, and I said, man, that would look good on this gun. So I put it on there. You basically get a mahogany grip. Let me read to you a quick review. This is from the Modern Rifleman. I dissected the article for time's sake, and I'm going to read to you the pertinent information that applies to this firearm that you can get through ANC Firearms. This is from the Modern Rifleman. About the firearm. John Moses Browning's 1911 is without a doubt the most timeless semi-automatic handgun ever to be conceived. The summation of Browning's previous work in a handgun development during the late 1890s and early 1900s, the 1911 was revolutionary both in terms of operation and power of a firearm. After Colt's submission proved reliable in 1910 testing, the U.S. Army adopted the pistol in April of 1911, thus dubbing it the model of 1911 or M1911 for short. Following World War II, Filipino forces took possession of several thousand U.S.-produced examples and adopted the handgun as the standard military sidearm. As a result of the 1911's wide adoption and incredible popularity among Filipino forces and civilian shooters, several companies in the Philippines have made a living off producing faithful copies of the classic American pistol. One such company is Shooter Arms Manufacturing in Quezon City. Respected for closely adhering to original specifications, SAM, as I abbreviated, produces a wide variety of 1911s geared toward all sorts of shooters. While SAM has sold 1911s in the United States under the name for several years, ATI has recently started distributing SAM 1911s under the Firepower Extreme or FX brand. This example is one such model, dubbed as the ATI FX Military 1911. It represents a near-exact clone of the classic 5-inch barrel. Now, I've got the 4-inch commander size. ATI makes them all. They got the officer model, commander model, and government model. Operationally, the 1911 is a classic. The ATI FX is certainly not a departure from the John Browning's timeless design, timeless cam action design. As is the case with many standard 1911s, the FX 1911 uses a half-length steel guide rod for the recoil spring. The trigger of the FX 1911 is a standard medium-length 1911 trigger. This means the length of pull is slightly longer than the government 1911A1 and slightly shorter than most government 1911s. The pull and reset are both very short at around 1 to 2 millimeters each, and the pull weight hovers in about 5-pound area. Internally, the pistol makes up use of the old Series 70 style layout as made famous by the Colt 1911s. From the finish perspective, the FX 1911 is actually fairly impressive. The parkerization that covers all metal surfaces, save the barrel, is very evenly done and is in very dark gray in color. The grip panels on the ATI are made of mahogany and have been checkered in a manner similar to the grips of World War II issued 1911s. The manual thumb safety on the ATI has similar contours to what is typically present on issued examples. The grip safety is a standard 1911 A1 lever. Though the safety is not B-retailed, as it is popular today, I did not suffer any hammer bite while testing the firearm at the range. The ATI is packaged with a single 8-round blued steel magazine manufactured by ACT in Italy. Now, ACT magazine, ladies and gentlemen, are very good. I have a lot of those. Unlike the 7-round World War I, World War II issue magazine, the ACT magazines feature a base plate that extends approximately a half inch from the bottom of the magazine. And also, this is me talking, the ACT magazine have stainless steel followers as compared to plastic or just cheap stamped followers, which makes it very reliable. The trigger is surprisingly good. As a single action gun, the 1911 trigger features only one pull weight and distance for shooters to learn. I would place my example at around 4.5 to 5 pounds of resistance with a minuscule 1 millimeter of take up before the hammer falls. Reset is also tiny, around 1 millimeter. Overall, the trigger makes for a very repeatable shooter. Now, for those of us who only seek a solid 1911 for the range and even self-defense, the FX will fit the bill admirably, even if higher capacity and lighter options exist in the 45 ACP. As far as affordable 1911s go, the ATI military most closely replicates the look and feel of the classic 1911 A1 and will be an excellent option for curious shooters who respect its heritage or seasoned collectors who are looking to spare their collectible 1911s for unnecessary wear. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was just a brief article. But I'm telling you, I'm a 1911 guy. I eat, sleep, drink 1911s. I shoot them extremely well. And one of the main reasons is because the trigger is great. You can't beat a 1911 trigger. Now, it's a little old school when it comes to the functioning of it, as compared to like a Glock. You load it, pull the trigger, bang, bang, bang. This one, you got to get it going in operation. But with practice, you can get this thing going just as quick as a Glock, okay? Now, the ATI, you can go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, take a look at me shooting this weapon. And then call ANC Firearms and Hyde and Hammer at 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it here on the radio. Have them order yours or pick the one up on the shelf that they've got there. If they've already sold it, they can order you another one. It's an excellent gun for an excellent price. I highly recommend it. Check it out. ANC Firearms and Hyde and Hammer. Luke, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have my special guest on. And my special guest this week is moi, me. See you on the other side.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
And that's powerful stuff.
It's a trust as true as Texas. A friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you
comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
You've been doing something with satisfied customers since 1984. You've been doing something right. I'm Jason Donalek, and that's the story of EBCO Development, providing quality new construction, remodeling, and roofing with complete customer satisfaction. We have the knowledge and experience to get the job done right the first time. And are a proud member of the Better Business Bureau. Start your building project by calling EBCO Development at 254-697-2186. That's 254-697-2186.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program, January 19th, 2019. And to my left sits Bill Whitmire, the Republican chairman for the...
For Milan County.
Milan County, that's right. And also famous radio host of Bleacher Bum Radio that comes on before my show.
I don't know if we're famous. Notorious, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, we're notorious.
Well, Bill, you're political, I'm political, and I say that in a positive sense. We study, we understand, we try to understand. We don't just look at bullet points and news articles and read headlines. We try to figure out, hey, I saw this happen, I heard it happen, and yet it's being shown in a different light of how it truly happened, and it just makes me get irritated. So there's articles I'm reading, there's things I've shown you here, but the one that really flipped me was this thing about Beto saying that, let's see here, I got an article here, and he hesitates to say this, but bottom line is he feels that maybe our Constitution isn't good anymore for the current times that we live in, because we're all over the world with troops and this and that. And I'm saying to myself, the reason this country is the way it is and is so strong and is so powerful and is the only superpower, true superpower, is because of that Constitution and Bill of Rights. And I'm not going to let any schmuck, especially this one, try to shred it up. What do you think?
Well, if you read the article, and after you gave me this, I went back and I looked at the article, and he does contradict himself. In one soundbite, he says, you know, we need to ditch the Constitution. And then he turns right back around, and then later on he says, well, we really kind of got to see how things are going to go over the next few years before we make a decision on what we're going to do with it.
He did that because he had this a small little segment of smartness that said, I better retract that statement.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you want to catch the soundbite, but you don't want to sound like a complete moron. And if he would have kept going in the direction he was going. But, you know, there's a lot of people that say that, you know, oh, yeah, it was written by a bunch of old guys 230 plus years ago, and it doesn't really, you know, pertain to what we do nowadays. But, you know, read it. It really does. If you go by what was written 230 years ago, it's you know, it's not perfect, but I think it's the closest document to perfect that we have in the world.
Amen to that, brother.
You know,
amen to that.
So,
and I'll tell you what, would you agree? You don't have to agree if you don't like what I'm about to say. But I think the majority of the things that we do that people don't like are done outside of the Constitution and Bill of Rights. If you were to follow and focus what the Bill of Rights and the Constitution says, there's nothing wrong with what the Constitution says. But it gets perverted. And people say, well, we're going to do this. And it's outside the law or the confines of what is written. And that's where the problems come in for political gain, sort of gain, whatever you want to call it. But
well, I think the biggest example of that is, you know, the separation of church and state. And, you know, that's a concept that Jefferson wrote about in a what we would call an article nowadays, you know, basically, and it was in a letter and in a speech that he gave where he used the term, and they say, oh, there's separation of church and state. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say that. It says that as a nation, we won't promote a specific religion, but that we have freedom of religion. And they always use it in terms of you can't put the Ten Commandments on the wall of the courthouse, or you can't have prayer before a public meeting, or this, that, or the other, you know, and it's just what you're talking about. It's not in the Constitution. It's something that people over the years have slowly, due to misinformation, believe that it is in the Constitution.
Bill, the reason I like to talk to you is because I know you're intelligent when it comes to this stuff, and I also know you'll speak your mind if you oppose to what I say. So here's, I'm going to say something. You tell me what you think. I look at the country here, the United States of America, as a business. It has a mission statement, and the mission statement is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Okay? And if you're going to be employed by this company, you're going to follow the rules. And the rules are Constitution, Bill of Rights, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you have this company was built with a certain mindset, a thought process of Judeo-Christian founding, okay? It's proven. And we have this country is a concept. But when it says separation of church and state, it's like you just said, it has nothing to do with suppressing your right for religion. It just says this country shall not have one major religion that we're going to cram down your throat. So people have to understand the mission statement. They have to understand it as compared to not understanding it and then spitting out ignorant comments that pollute the minds of others, and they don't know. And I get on those people who don't do their homework and study and research and understand so that they have a better understanding of our Constitution and how it works, but they're ignorant, and they cause other people to become ignorant. It's one big clover leaf that has all these different problems that keep coming to the core. You've got to understand the roots, the beginnings of where it comes from, so that you're not ignorant and make stupid decisions. That was a mouthful.
It was. But you said a lot, but you said the truth. I mean, if you understand the basics, you understand the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, where we come from, you understand your history, and then you have to, especially in today's world with social media and so much on the internet, you've got to go to various different sources, because you may get a little truth from everybody, but you don't get the whole truth from anybody. You know, and you've got to find that truth. You've got to want to seek that truth. And unfortunately, so many people get their information from a Facebook hit or a Twitter post or an email that they get, and they say, oh, this is true. This was said. I think one of the best ones I've ever seen is that you can't believe anything you've ever seen on the internet signed Abraham Lincoln. You know, I mean, that right there, and, you know, how many people, you see, we talked about it, we kind of joked about it this morning after Bleacher Bum Radio. We were sitting outside and we were talking about how easy it is to create a fake Twitter account and put out disinformation, and people run with it. Right now, you've got Twitter accounts that aren't being used, that groups like ISIS, that groups like Al-Qaeda are taking over and using for disinformation, because people just haven't ever logged on, and they'll go look up that account, look up that individual, find something about that individual and figure out what their logon is, and then take that account over and put out disinformation. Mm-hmm. So it looks like it's Fred Nobody from downtown Temple who's lived in Temple his whole life, and he's putting out this anti-information, and other people see it on Twitter and like, well, this guy's, he's an American. He's not even, you know, a bad guy, but it's some guy in a cave over in Syria that's typing all this information out and sending it off, and people just eat it up. So you've got to, basically, you can't go to just one source. You can't go to the Huffington Post or the Washington Post or the Austin American Statesman or the Temple Telegram or Wikipedia. Remember, Wikipedia is written by people just like you and me. It's not written by scholars. It's written by just people, and they try to verify it, but it's just information put out there. You got to go to various different sources to get the information you want. And if you're just relying on a Facebook post or an email, well, God help you.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm about to say is my opinion. Bill, you can state your claim, whatever, but this has nothing to do with Bill. I look at the media as a lot of it is fake news. And I'll tell you why I say that. It's not so much that it's fake news. It's agenda news. And here's why I say it. You've got all these different news outlets come up with a story almost at the same time, using the same verbiage, same bullet points. For me, if you were an independent news organization, don't you think you'd have some type of creativity to come up with a different type of headline, a different bullet point or something, a different angle? It all seems they converge on the same bullet points, which makes me think there's an agenda of sordid gain to move instead of putting out the news for you and I, the public, to make a decision based on the facts. We're getting an opinion. Like Cuomo, I hate that guy. Yeah. That guy's a piece of scum. He's a, I like to say something else. That guy stinks to all high heaven. What do you think about that?
Well, he's definitely a shock journalist. He's going to, you know, you have him on one side, you have somebody like Tucker Carlson on the other side, and they're working both angles. You're right. There is an agenda out there. There is something. But, you know, the days when you had Cronkite on one channel and the others on the other channels, you had three channels to choose from. They're going to report the news. They're going to give their little slant. But for the most part, it was going to be news. Nowadays, it's all about just the popular journalism to try to get people to watch what they're going to see. And you're right. There are agendas. Like right now, if you turn to anything that's left of center or left-leaning media, from MSNBC to CNN to the Huffington Post or anything like that, what you're going to hear about is the Mueller report, talking to Russians. You know that, you know, the big thing yesterday was that Rudy Giuliani said that he never said that. That's the right. Campaign didn't talk to the Russians. He just said Trump talked to the Russians, and they ate that up. And you know,
it was the other way around.
Rudy's in his, you know, 70s, moving into his 80s. You know. You know, I think my dad even said the last thing he wants to do is talk to the media at his age, and he's only 72. So, you know, but that's what they eat on. That's what they feed on. And then you go to the other side, and you look at something like Fox News, and their agenda is we're going to beat up Nancy Pelosi right now, and which a lot of people don't mind if you do that, and you and I are probably two that don't. But
do you know why this is coming up all the time? It's because what Trump is doing is one thing after the other, what he promised, what he got elected for. And he's doing it. He's making it happen. And yeah, they don't want anybody to know about it.
They've got to go after the minutia that they can go after. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and we kind of went line by line by line by line of everything that he has done. And if you look at his campaign promises versus what he's gotten done and what he's tried to get done, mm-hmm. in the last 100 years, he's probably the lead politician for actually doing what he said he was going to do.
That's right.
You know, and you see people, we discussed this earlier, you see people on the media, and you had a guy go down, and he went down a line of people that were protesting Trump, saying, why do you hate him for this? And, you know, oh, I just hate him because he does this. Well, what do you hate about that? And they couldn't say anything.
Exactly.
You know, hey, oh, he takes away women's rights. How's he taking away women's rights? And the lady just looked at him and said, well, I don't know, but he is. And, oh, great argument. You know,
ladies and gentlemen, let me make a comment. I know Trump is abrasive. I know it. That's his modus operandi. He gets accomplished what he wants to get accomplished because he understands what it takes to get it done. Now, let me tell you something. If you're black, white, short, fat, doesn't matter to me. If you're a leader and you get the job done, I'm going to follow you, okay? I want somebody who's going to take this country, protect it, make it better than it was. And yeah, he's abrasive, okay? But I put it on a scale and I say to myself, what's better? Is he abrasive and doesn't get the job done, or abrasive and gets the job done? It's the people who don't like what he's accomplishing or making it sound like he's the worst thing since burnt toast, I guess.
Burnt bread, yeah.
I personally like burnt toast. But, you
know. That's what it is. I knew it was something. So, yeah, I mean, they've got to find the things that they can pick on, and they do get. And if you look, a lot of the popular media that's out there and is left-leaning, their talking points, ironically, many times match the talking points of the DNC. The DNC is not talking about the low African-American. The African-American unemployment's the lowest it's ever been in this country. Ever.
Why doesn't that wake people up and say?
And we're going to talk about the Robert Mueller investigation more. The president, you know, they say they were hammering him for not going to Iraq and Afghanistan. And while they're hammering him, he's landing at Bagram Air Force Base during the holidays.
Right.
And they're hammering him. And then all of a sudden they come up with this news update, and there's Air Force One landing. The other day, one of my favorite ones was you had a lady she's an African-American attorney. She's speaking about white privilege. She's talking on the radio to a Fox News guy named David Webb, and she's telling him the only reason he's had a chance to do all these things in the life are white privilege. And he stops her and he says, You do realize that I'm black American. She had no idea, but that's because she's never taken the time. She's more concerned about selling herself to the media as somebody who's going to detract everything that's bad about Donald Trump and not taking the time to actually do the research herself. And she's a 55-year-old attorney who has this big media operation on K Street in Washington, D.C., and she doesn't even know enough to know that one of the lead journalists on Fox News is a black American who's got, you know, radio show, TV show, newspaper articles, been involved in various different campaigns, but she didn't know enough to know that he was a black gentleman. I mean, that's the media we deal with nowadays.
I want to go back to this article again about Beto. Look, Beto is a Obama up and coming, only worse, and I'll tell you why. They're going to take everything they learned from Obama and fix it so that they can slap it on a Beto, and you watch 220. Or 2020, or maybe the next one after that, he's going to be up there. And if we're not careful, we're going to get this guy in here, and it's going to be terrible. So,
and remember, his dad was a Kennedy administration state official, and he is named Robert Francis O'Rourke, named after Bobby Kennedy. So that's what you're voting for. You're voting for a Kennedy underling, you know.
How about this article? I showed this to you. The suicide bombing kills at least 16 in Syria. Any comments you want to make on that one? Because I wrote my notes here. If you want me to
I told you off the air. You know, I think I don't have a problem with us pulling out. I wish we were a little bit more organized in how we're going to do it. Not necessarily advertise it, but a little bit more organized. And my concern is to do a full pull out. You know, runs the risk of once again leaving especially the Kurdish people. Out to dry. We did that in after Desert Storm, and we did that for a reason. I mean, we had to leave Saddam there. It was part of the deal we had made with the Saudis, but it just left the Kurds hanging. And I think we have to have I don't disagree with a pullout. I think we need a very organized way to do it. I think a lot of the generals and admirals were concerned with that. But, you know, you have your military-industrial complex that's also playing into that. I think that's where your point on the deal comes
well,
in.
Well, doing all my studying of many different things, many different angles, okay, I don't just say something just to say it. I say it because I based it off of things I've read, and I do multiple sources. It's not like I'm just going to one source. And so, you know, when you hear a Syria attack or a gas attack in Syria, I believe the first one was put on Assad.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up not being, and so it was a false flag, basically. They were just trying to make anything or whoever they could to look bad. And so, and then we had the second one, and that's when Trump comes in and just levels them, right? ISIS levels them. But now here we are, we're trying to pull out, and you have ISIS does a suicide attack and kills Americans. Why the heck would they do that? And piss off the president and say, hey, you know, I'm not going to like this. Maybe we'll do something else instead of pulling out. I would say if I was ISIS, shh, be quiet. Don't do nothing. Let the Americans leave, which makes me think, okay, here we have an attack. Is that a false flag to keep us in there for whatever reason? For if it's political gain or if it's the military industrial complex doesn't want to lose contracts for military supplies. It just makes me kind of wonder based on all the other evidence in the history of the way things happen.
Well, we haven't really had an attack like that in that area, and knowing the area, that's a difficult place for somebody to pull off an attack like that. So whoever wanted to pull that off would have taken a lot of planning. It would have taken it's not just something like you're just going to send somebody up there strapped to a bomb jacket or something and have them blow it up there.
Well, if
it's
going to
take some planning. So it does lead itself into some conspiratorial thought in that, but it's also easy for an attack like that to happen and just somebody claim or someone say that so-and-so claimed responsibility for it. So to me, it's a little difficult at this point to say who actually did cause it.
Let's just say Trump continues to pull out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the powers that be behind in the dark shadows, behind the curtain, don't want that. Be prepared for another gas attack. Because that usually gets us back in the game, right? Dropping a cruise missile or something. But, okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Time's ticking away. Any final comments before we're going to take a break? And then we're going to have Master Cindy Keys in the house. And she's going to, I think, tear me up. Or am I watching it this time?
You're watching.
I'm watching.
I was hoping I was going to get to see the beat down.
I thought you liked me, Bill.
Well, I do, but it's still fun. Sometimes it's fun to see your friends get beat down. I mean, you know, it's just
Go to my YouTube channel. You get to see
I've seen it some.
Excuse me, big time. Okay. So. Any final comments you want to make?
Just know that you're going to see a lot of presidential candidates start coming out of the woodwork now that we've gotten past the first of the year. We've already seen lots of them. So We've got 20 Dems that have already said they're going to run, and we've got three Republicans, two to challenge Donald Trump. But I don't think there's going to be much
20,
of
and there's about 21 of them that just ain't worth it, in my opinion. But
yeah, I mean, it's exactly. So yeah, Bleacher Bum Radio will be on every morning on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. But Tuesday night, we have the Cameron Yeoman Lady Yo playing the Franklin Lions and Lady Lions here local, and we'll be on at 6 o'clock with that, myself and Coach Kenny Driska. Yeoman playing for a shot at second place in the district, so join us.
Sounds good. Luke, let's take us out with some music or whatever, and we'll be back after two or three commercials there. When we come back, we'll have Master Cindy Key and Bruce, right? And we're going to be doing, I got two black belts in the house. Gosh, I feel safe. So we'll see what they got to do, okay? See you on the other side. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Bald Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Bald Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
Capellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's January 19, 2019, and in the house is Master Cindy Key. Master Key, how are you today?
I'm great.
Master Key owns Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. I'm going to give the mic to her. She's going to be doing club defense, and she's going to explain it all, and she's got a special guest here as well.
I have my student, Bruce McQuinn. He gets to be the attacker today to save Matt a little bit of bouncing around.
Thank you.
I'm going to talk about club. Now, this wouldn't necessarily have to be a club. It could be somebody trying to hit you with a baseball bat, a tire iron, and you just need to know where the... I'm going to put my student, Bruce, on the spot. So, Bruce, where, if I'm holding this weapon, where, what part of the weapon do I really want to avoid?
The end where the centrifugal force is at.
That's right. That's where the most power is and the most damage can be done. We're going to be talking about an inside swing, so he will be swinging at... with a one-arm inside swing at the side of my head. Always, if somebody has anything in their hand. You want to make, okay, you want to make, I mean, if you see him, you want to make space, 20, 30 feet, you know, and if he's still coming, then you know you're in real trouble. But, you know, say he surprises me and he's in front of me now, I'm immediately going to throw my hands up because I want to protect my head area. Because if that thing hits my head, I'm not going to be standing up after that. So he swings at my head. I'm going to use one arm, my left arm. He's swinging with his right. I'm going to use my left forearm to block. I'm also, the minute I block, I'm going to be putting my hand on him to control his arm. I'm going to come to the inside of him, striking his chin with a heel palm. When I come down, I'm going to take his sight from him. I'm going to rip him with the tiger claw all the way down.
You said that so like you were so happy about it.
I am. I would really do this because I want to blind him. I want to shock him. I want to cause pain. I would either then hit him in the groin with the ridge hand. I may tiger his groin area too. But you can just
that means grabs his onions. Okay.
Yeah. You do an elbow to his ribs. I might even do another one to the inside part of his ribs. But then I'm going to come around with my forearm up under his elbow, and I'm bringing his striking hand down, and I'm lifting my other one up. And if I do this fast enough, it's going to break.
Ms. King, can you maybe show the other direction? Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be on video probably Tuesday or so, and you get to see it, but she's going to do the same thing in reverse, so you get to see what's happening to poor Bruce here. And you got about a minute. Go ahead.
Okay. He swings. I block. Strike. Rip. Strike. 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 I can knee here, and this is where he goes down, because I'll sweep his leg. And
I cannot tell you how happy it's not me. She's demonstrating. All right. Master Key, tell everybody how to get a hold of you, what kind of specials you got, so on and so forth.
I always have my new student special for new students only, and it's $99 for the first 2 months of class, so they can come in and try class and see if it's what they want to do. I am not taking very many more students at this point. I mean, I'm going to cap it. I mean, 10 more, and that's it for me. So if you're really interested in coming to class, you need to sign up, or at least let me know you're going to be coming to try class. My number is 254-721-2775. You can call it or text it, and I will get back to you.
Sounds great. All right, Luke, we got about a minute? Tell you what, let's just take it out with playing some music. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. And Master Key, maybe sometime we can do it if somebody's got a gun on you. And what we can realistically do to maybe save our necks if somebody's got a gun pointed at us. All right, ladies and gentlemen, until next week, keep your powder dry. God bless, and just stay out of trouble. See you on the other side.